Welcome to Marketing Horizons, a program within the WVU Marketing Communications Today podcast series. Marketing Horizons looks ahead to the new ideas, technologies, tools, and strategies that are emerging to help marketers prepare for what's next. Join co-hosts Ruth Stevens and Cindy Greenglass as they explore upcoming marketing trends with marketers who are leading the way. Thank you for joining us.
Cindy, let me introduce you to Amas Tanuma, who is based in Oklahoma City and specializes in customer service. Such an important but often neglected area of marketing, right?
Right.
And he's the author of four different books on this subject, the latest of which is called Waiting for Service. It was just published last year, with tips for consumers on how to get more value from customer service functions. I can't wait to hear that. And he's been for years out there proselytizing about the importance of customer service and how to apply technology to improve it. So let's ask Amas to get in here and tell us all about it, shall we?
Absolutely. Hello, Amas.
Well, it is a pleasure to be here. I'm happy to be here with both of you. Thanks for having me.
This is great to talk about customer service, which, you know, is often neglected, and we all suffer from bad customer service. That's for sure. It's a point of pain for many of us. To kick us off, can I ask you, how did you ever get involved in customer service and, you know, make it some improving, you know, and fixing it a driving force in your career?
Yeah, it was accidental. I started in technology, and I was building software solutions that I thought would make me the next Bill Gates. That didn't quite happen. But one of the problems I was looking to solve then, there was lots of outsourcing in India. I created this thing that helped to roboticize the voice to make that experience better. So that flailed out. And then I took a job in customer service. I've done frontline in person. I've answered the phones in call centers. I've run really large service organizations. But I remain a technologist at heart, and then switched over to the consultant side. So my entire career accidentally has been around you know, customer service, whether internal, external, management. So I've seen all sides of it. So I think what it's allowed me to come to the table as someone who can mediate, because I've been on all sides of paying for it and being an executive. But it's an accidental career, but I'm so glad I stumbled into it.
Yeah, I am too, because it seems to be the neglected stepchild of marketing. And I've always wondered about that. You know, we as marketers know that brand preference, repeat purchase, referral, all of this is really dependent on our positive experience with a company. And if something goes wrong, I often say, if one bad experience can just ruin my perception of the brand as a whole, and it seems unfair, but this is just the way I behave as a consumer. But at the same time, customer service seems to be underfunded and almost disrespected. It's kind of at the bottom of the prestige totem pole. So why is that? Don't companies understand how important it is?
Yeah, you know, we don't have time to go through the entire history, and I have, but I'll give you a shortened version. I think that what effectively happened is, as we became more corporatized, you know, service way back in today, I often joke, like, we have the record of the first ever customer service complaint, and it was hedged on a rock. A guy bought this copper, and it didn't go well, and he wrote these lengthy things. I was in the 1600s, right? Wow. And fast forward to to now. And then service was this retail one-to-one. You knew the person you were buying the insurance from. And then as we got more efficient, as we industrialized customer service, what became then clear is the more you industrialize service, the more you were looking for how to make it more efficient, faster, cheaper, et cetera. And that's when the divorce from marketing in many organizations, the marketing function may or may not even own service. Service then became this cost thing, this necessary evil or necessary thing that needs to be done. It became trash collection, meaning no one buys a house in the neighborhood because of great trash collection. Now, you may decide to move or sell your house if the trash collection services isn't functioning. And so you then add, once you made it this cost thing, there was no longer the thing that drove your brand experience, then the real reason why we suffer from service the way it is a function of economics. So if the cost of anything we buy, to keep it simple, if you bought, a bottle, right? And in that bottle, the bottle costs $5, it's assumed that the cost of service there is 15 cents for all of us spread across the deal. The company has no choice to try and spend as little as possible. There is zero upside to spending more than you have to service. I want to say there's zero upside in the short run. So the upsides, if any, occurs over the longer term. And in a world where we live quarter by quarter, It is hard to get organizations to focus on service because the payoff, the ROI of doing outreach marketing is immediate. Someone will buy something from you tomorrow or next week. The ROI of this is greater, for sure, but it may be next year.
Right.
That's why we're up against.
So interesting. You know, we've talked a lot in the past with professionals around loyalty marketing, the economics of loyalty. And of course, we all know Net Promoter Score, right? NPV. And net present value and how the net promoter score is supposed to be a measure of the financial well-being. If you get a good score, it impacts positively economics. And yet everybody hates it, right? We all in customer service hate the, you know, 5-star rating for Uber or anybody who doesn't get the great net promoter score. And it's been a little bit of a bane of our existence in customer service. So would you agree with that? Because we're trying to measure it and give it a more quantifiable, maybe kind of big grown-up way of bringing customer service to the table.
Yeah, I was cheering when NPS became a metric in my world, in the world of customer experience. I no longer cheer because... It started off in a good way, but now it's been gamified to the point that it's more noise than signal. And the reason for that now is when you ask me a question, how likely are you to recommend a brand based on what have you? We tend to think about these things in linear ways. The reason I may not buy from you today, service is one of those things. It may be one of 20 things. It may be 10%. It may be 80%. Your entire thing might anchor around service. So I think the evolution that I think we're going through, that we're going to have to, is to realize that, frankly, those surveys and those scores should be secondary. We now have better data that tells us more about how you feel. I no longer need to ask you how this conversation went, how your purchase experience, but you are telling me in action. I can measure sentiment, tone inflection. I can watch and see that you didn't come back and buy the other thing. And then I can then complement that with survey data. That's kind of where we are. So I was very, very much excited, and it did a lot of good for us, but I think we need to evolve beyond it now.
Oh, that's a great point. And do you think some of that data that we now have available to us is being AI driven?
Yeah, I I know AI, you know, we've got the CEO of Google saying it's more consequential than the invention of fire, and I don't know about all of that, but the technologist in me is really, really excited because what AI is going to allow us to do is, if you just think about it, the average marketer today, when they want to understand sentiment, they have capacity to maybe go survey 4 or 5% of their population, and then they make these, we all make these wild assumptions that everyone's happy or sad or this, and I think, and we've not even gotten into sampling in Arizona, what have you. Now today, let me tell you a real world example. Like, I have a client now that listens, monitors, does sentiment analysis on 100% of the interactions that come into their space. That's what the power of AI is. It listens to every single call, saw even before they get on the phone while they're talking to the press one, press two, the phone automated system, gathers all of that insights, and then processes them. The scoring is interesting, but more importantly is quantitatively, we see the sentiment here. People really dislike this. People like this. When they are here, this is how they're feeling. Now we can still augment that. I think that's the good parts of AI. Unfortunately, we are in the early stages, and everyone is running towards, how do I take cost out of service? How do I eliminate the human and put a bot that no one asked for? How do I sort of make this thing faster? But I think behind the scenes, what gives me optimism is, I think we're going to look back and go, gosh, the biggest thing this thing allowed us to do was not the chatbot thing on the website, but these other areas where it really allowed us to connect and get more intimate with our customer without hiring a whole bunch of people.
I'm so interested that you were excited about AI's potential to gather a deeper look to 100% of interactions, but that then the providers of so-called customer service are saying, oh, they're rubbing their hands saying, now I can call, fire everybody in the call center and make it all robot-driven, man. Yeah. Do you think that's where things are headed?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's where we will start, and it will fail, and we would course correct. We always take all the options first before picking the best one. So today, the movement and the energy, when people call me about AI, they are saying, hey, boss, I've got 1,500 people in the field or in an office. Do you think we can cut that number down to 800 by next year? And how can AI help us do that? And that is such a backwards way of looking at it. And let me back up and tell people one of the things people, most even C-suite executives, miss about customer service. They actually think that, they go, gosh, we got a million people contacting us. That's too much. And I always tell them, I bet you there's 5 million people who wish they could contact you. It's usually at least 4x what you think. Because think about you and I and our experiences. How bad does a problem need to be before you will pick up the phone and call? There's so many little annoyances in your life with whoever you do business with that you're just like, it's not worth it. I'm not waiting on hold for that.
Yeah.
The promise of AI, when we get past this hysteria of just trying to save cost, it will be focused on the humans. And the humans in particular are the service employee, whether that person is in person or over the phone or an email. And the second human is the customer. And what that would look like is, how can I take this tool and make the job of, let's pick one persona, the contact center or call center agent. I've done that job. The cognitive load, you're constantly switching from screen to screen, searching for information. And oh, by the way, you're trying to build rapport. Hence why our industry has roboticized the human experience to the point that when you have a conversation with someone in a contact center, it sounds like, it's like my crooked cousin wearing a wire. They say things like, no one talks like that. No one says things like, have I resolved all of your issues today? Oh, thank you, Mr. Moss. It's very, very sterile. And these are great human beings that if you met them in real life, you would have this deep, rich thing. But they've automated that because they need their brains to navigate the complex systems, to find where the fin is, to read the policy. And the real promise of AI for me in my world is that it has the opportunity to take all of those things where they're focusing their brain power in. You no longer need to go find anything on any screen. It'll bring it to you. It'll read the document. It'll be your assistant. It'll give you all of that. You can now do the human thing. Focus time with that human being. Empathize in a real way. Not, I apologize that happened to you in the most script reading way.
Yeah.
I think that then will do two things. The reason it's a super technology for me is that it will save money because the human doesn't, it's going to be faster than a human at finding that. It'll help measure sentiment. It'll coach them. We'll be able to resolve more and more issues. The humans, both the customer and the employee, will be happier. I just hate to say, though, I must say, none of this will happen as our first foray. We will go trying to just use a blunt instrument to save money first, but we will get to this. And many clients, as I engage them, are very open-minded because I make them the promise that you will get the cost savings that would actually stick, but let's do it in a slightly different way.
Mm. Awesome. You know, Amos, this is so insightful, and you're sharing some wonderful reasons why, you know, customer service will ultimately improve using these tools. I want to pivot just a little bit since, you know, Ruth shared with us and our audience that your book that came out, Waiting for Service, is actually now focusing on us as the consumer, not so much the marketer, the professional, but, you know, those of us who need service all the time. And would you share a little bit with us why you made that choice to pivot to the consumer? Yeah. And what can we do to self-advocate for better service?
Thank you for asking that. You know, my first book was a curated experience. It was a blueprint on how to build good customer service. I've spent 20 years with brands, big, large, small, and medium, around how to do this. All the solutions are there. And service has gotten worse. We were making improvements until 2018 and it went backwards. I wrote Waiting for Service because I felt like I've been talking to the wrong audience. I think that consumers are not informed enough about how and why services the way they are. And I know from experience, in the same way, it's a little bit of a democracy, right? If the voters, the people who vote with their paycheck, with their wallets, decide to do things differently, we would have change. I'll give you one simple example of tips I have in the book. And the ones around how do you kind of leverage things like social media to get better service. There's good ways of doing it. And I talk about putting pressure on the executives at times. But what will happen is, if the CEO of insert brand here starts getting hundreds of emails, they don't respond to them, they just forward it, and then you get the service you want. Eventually, he or she is going to go, what is going on here? Like, why is everyone? And that's where this, and the second inspiration has been, if I asked you to name the companies with the best service, it would be a short list, but all of them have one thing in common. The CEO is bought in. I have never seen a company that has legendary service without the very top bought in. And it's because somebody has to be willing to wait for the payoff that may not happen immediately. And that generally means an ownership, a shareholder group who is more long-term thinking, which is not the norm, unfortunately.
That's for sure. In our short-term focus world. So tell us what we can do, a couple of pointers or tips that you would have for us as consumers that we can look for to, you know, maybe customer service hacks, things we can see as signs of good service or signs of bad service.
I would say before you buy anything, goods or service, I do it reverse. If it's a brand I haven't thrown in, I actually call service first before I make my purchase. The second thing I think is important, I call the number. I figure out what it's like. I go and research service first. Second thing I would say I've got is that if you think your brands you're doing business with is not treating you well, wait till you find out how they're treating their service employees. And that's really another place where I encourage empathy. That person is not being difficult. They're reading the script. If you listen closely, they sound like they're in a hostage video. They don't mean any of these things. Empathize with them, put them on your side, and know that if we had this conversation about the service experience, the experience of service employees, it'll actually be worse, and it's more shameful. So I'll leave you with those two things there. Research how they do with service. Assume that the thing's going to break. Call, email, see where that goes, and use that in influencing who you choose to do business with.
And then otherwise, you suggest that we complain on social media to put pressure on the senior executives, right?
Yeah, I've said that, again, for your run-of-the-mill service, when you start getting into where you're not getting the service you want, in this context, you know, big companies versus small companies, but leverage two things. Figure out the email of the CEO or the executive team and shoot them all the email, and you will be shocked about how all of a sudden all the no's you've gotten, because the CEO forwards your email to the executive who runs service and says, make this go away. So all of a sudden things disappear. The second one is social media is public. And so while the marketing leader may not have service, the marketing group cares that you are going viral here, telling the whole world how awful things are. So that's a good way to put pressure on the brands when you get to a place where you are, where you need escalation. But being unfriendly, I got to say this again, because we're seeing the behavior on both sides. We as consumers are getting frustrated with service agents. That's not the person that your fire should be trained on. They are just caught in the same systems as you and I as customers are. That trust me. I work
so
with them all day.
Now, as a tech guy yourself, what are there other than AI, are there tech developments that you've seen over the years or that you're expecting to come down the pike that can help resolve some of these desires for cost savings and desire for a better service experience?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of areas. The first one being data. I think there's a disconnectedness. So marketing is in its own silos, sales is in its own silos, everyone's reporting their numbers and they're not connected. I think another thing that's happening beneath the surface is the ability to really connect. When I say there's an ROI of service, most service leaders who are listening to me, even marketers, are like, I'm having difficulties proving, because you have to connect. Here's where the service experience is, and go to another system and go to another system to connect the dots and says, we made Ruth unhappy today, which then led to her canceling her service 8 months from now. It's incredibly difficult. So that is one area where we will see that. The second one is the telephone channel has been especially bad. We are now in the process of digitizing voice. Why does this really matter? What this then matters is voice becomes like email and chat, where we have kind of better granular data, right? Where we can do analysis on that voice transactions, couple that with the sentiment and tone. I think we'll be able to do more analysis, not as customer facing, but behind the scenes, what's happening with digital voice and what's happening with data might have potential to make things better for all of us.
That's encouraging.
Outstanding. Yes, and very encouraging. I wish we had more time. We could talk a lot longer with you, Amos, about all of this. But we have run out of time on our show today. Ruth, thank you so much for bringing Amos onto our great podcast and sharing so much information. We really appreciate it.
Learned a lot. Thank you, Amos.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Cindy, wasn't that fun talking to Amos? I was thinking, gee, I'm learning a lot for professional use, but also I learned some great tips from him as a consumer having poor service, and that was really fun. What did you think about?
Absolutely. I was very impressed about the evolution of customer service and, why it's so malaligned or why we don't respect it. And, you know, I thought it was interesting when he said that as soon as we started to industrialize service, we lost the personal touch. And then it became, I loved his comment, you know, trash collection. You don't buy a house based on how good the trash pickup is. But if you have trash all over the neighborhood and collection is bad, you know, you live in a nasty neighborhood. And, you know, customer service has become a necessary evil and something that we don't respect like we used to.
And I also noticed he mentioned the silos between marketing, sales, and service.
Yeah.
And that the companies with good service only invest in it because the CEO or the senior management is bought in. My first thought, of course, was L.L. Bean when I heard him mention that. But organizationally, if we're not recognizing that service is part of the entire customer experience and needs to be integrated end to end with sales and marketing across all touch points, it's going to be impossible to fix it.
Right. And, you know, what's the disconnect? Our focus on short term, either short term profits, especially if you're a public company, or cost savings, where everybody took out the hatchet and just want to cost savings all you can. The lack of focus for the CEO on the importance of service, and the lack of the ability of technology to connect the dots between, I have a bad customer experience, I will not either buy again, you won't retain me, I'll abandon. Dan, like, that is an assumption we've made for a long time. And he did say that the technology now that allows us to connect those dots can prove out how important a good experience is with all those other outcome measures.
Very encouraging that AI will allow us to, number one, reach a much larger percentage of our customers and people interacting with us than the 4% that we might have gotten from survey data in the past. And also, I loved that he said that AI is going to allow our customer service reps to deliver higher quality answers with less, I loved his term, cognitive load, because they won't have to be poking around trying to get answers for the customer, that the tools will deliver a better answer and allow them to focus on the building rapport that will deliver a happier outcome.
Yeah, and actually a solution, like solve the problem instead of having to hunt and peck through manuals and all the rest of it. Because, you know, so I thought that was an excellent point, Ruth. I completely agree with you. You know, it was, when he talked about it's all going to come down to the humans, even though we're talking AI and technology is enabling improvements for the humans. And the two humans he was referring to are the service person, like you said, improving their cognitive load, and the consumer, the customer, because we will be able to get better service. But he also said we as the consumer need to be better informed about how to get good service, right? Like, he gave us some ideas for how we can do that ourselves.
Right, so wearing our consumer hats, we are now thinking, okay, so maybe on a large considered purchase item, I would check out the customer service likelihood of a good experience before picking my next car or maybe a college education or or some other large purchase, a house certainly. And then emailing the executives when you have putting pressure on them and complaining about the bad experience on social media or, you know, inability to get your problem solved. These are all things that we can do as as individuals.
Yeah, I mean, how he said, you know, the CEO just wants it to go away, make it go away and make it less public and embarrassing for us. So, right. You know, yelling and screaming at the poor customer service person on the phone who has no agency and, you know, it just demoralizes them. And, you know, they're generally underpaid and this is a tough job to begin with. So take the complaint where it belongs all the way up the chain was, you know, I think that was a good point. And, you know, how he said that they're not, find out how customer service is treated by the company, because companies who treat and respect customer service will treat and respect the customer.
The employees. And he wrapped up with some interesting insights into how technologies, AI and others, are helping by allowing a richer data set to allow us to understand the problems that our customers are having and deliver information on the ROI. He said a couple of times that when the service executives can't demonstrate the ROI on their efforts, they're not going to be able to get the budgets that they need. Right. And so that it was data, but also I was really interested his idea that if we can digitize the interaction, the voice interaction with service reps on the phone, we can get better data about the sentiment and the problem itself and improve things through having access to that data. Very encouraging.
Yeah. It's great. So as we close, he did share with us after we were finished our recording, a really interesting reference that our listeners may be interested in.
Yes.
The American Customer Satisfaction Index, ACSI. And you can go back and see the index by industry, and you can see the trend in customer index and satisfaction, not only by industry, but individual companies, and how they correlate that change in customer sat over time. So any of our listeners who might have an interest in this topic may want to go check that out.
Another tool for us marketers and us as consumers.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cindy. What a terrific session today.
Thanks, Ruth.
You've been listening to WVU Marketing Horizons, hosted by Ruth Stevens and Cindy Greenglass. The WVU College of Creative Arts and Media's online programs is honored to host these amazing guests. Please be sure to visit go.wvu.edu/mc today to hear previous discussions, listen to the Marketing Horizons series, subscribe to receive updates, as well as learn more about the renowned WVU Marketing Communications online programs.